Okay, this is the time for a short Dhamma sermon. You can open your eyes and pay attention. Actually, we were discussing Anapanasati Sutta for several weeks now, and we discussed how mindfulness on breathing helps to develop Kayanupassana, and we discussed how mindfulness of breathing helps to develop Vedanupassana, and how it helps to develop Chittanupassana, and how it helps to develop Dhammanupassana. Probably Suranga can show the document so we can quickly go through it. So there are, actually Buddha is coming up with a certain recipe how to develop all four satipatthanas using a single anapanasati. Actually, it does not mean that we are keeping anapanasati as our primary object throughout the whole four sessions, but rather slowly we are trying to maintain some amount of lifeline like situation with Anapanasati. But at the very first stage, that is on Kayanupassana section, Anapanasati is prominent, where we are trying to recognize the states of the breath, whether it is longer, whether it is shorter, whether we can maintain full attention to breath, like the beginning of the breath, the middle of the breath, the end of the breath, then maybe kind of a gap, and then the middle of the beginning of the out breath, the middle of the out breath, the end of the out breath, then again a certain gap, and then the beginning of next in breath. So likewise, there's a cycle repeating, and the yogi is asked to closely watch that information. So as a result, his mindfulness improves. As a result, his clear comprehension, sampajanya, improves, because now he can very carefully see the minute details of the breath. And as a result of this continuous attention, his breath starts to calm down. Breath becomes subtler and subtler. And then he is reaching the fourth stage, asambhayam kaya sankharam asasisamiti sikkati, where the breath becomes to almost impossible to perceive. You can't distinguish whether this is the in-breath, whether this is the out-breath, but breath is quite subtle. So once everything is calmed down, so we actually have to facilitate this process. We should not fall asleep. We should not think that this is lack of mindfulness, but rather this is fairly a balanced mindfulness is there. And then we are reaching the next stage, that is actually belonging to Vedanupassana. Buddha says, now there's a possibility of arising various pleasurable feelings, happy feelings, pleasant feelings. So these feelings are observed objectively. So we are therefore in a type of Vedanupassana. And as a result, these feelings start to calm down, and the body now feel quite comfortable and feeling at ease. Even that state, sukhapatisamedi, asasisamiti sikkati, even that pleasant abiding also represents a kind of Vedana, kind of feeling, and Buddha asks us to watch it rather than trying to maximize it, or rather than trying to attach to it. We have to come out of that experience and observe it objectively. And then there may be even slight little pains that also can be watched, little pressurable feelings that also can be watched. And as a result of this continuous observation, all these feelings start to calm down. They start to disappear. For some people at this stage, there's a possibility of arising various perceptions, various signs, mental images. So we should not get carried away by these various mental images. Rather, we have to understand they are simply perceptions. They are simply signs. And we should not give much value to them. We should not give any importance to them. They are simply sanya. So Buddha says, Marichikupama sanya. These sanya, these signs, mental images are like a mirage. We should not think them as real, but they are like a mirage. So we simply have to have proper wisdom there, and so that we are not thinking there as a Buddha or passed away relative or pagoda or yak or whatever it is, but they are simply a mental image. So once you are able to look at them objectively, they also start to fade away. So then we come up with a fairly calm mind, because the body also is fairly calm at a very comfortable situation, and the feelings also now calm down. And if there was any mental image, that also has gone. It also disappeared. Now the mind is fairly at a comfortable situation. And then we are reaching the third stage, that is the Chittanupassana state. Chitta Parisamvedi Asa Sissamiti Sikkhati. Buddha says, now start to watch the mind. Now at this moment, we are not watching the mind with a lot of effort, but rather with a very relaxed effort, we have to watch the mind. In a way, we have to allow the mind to little play as it like. Then only we can really look at various mental states, various thoughts objectively. If there is no anything available in the mind, it's a bit difficult to understand for a beginner to what really going on. But when the mind has some kind of a movement, some kind of an attachment, some kind of various defilements, when the mindfulness is established, one can look at them objectively. It's like you are watching your young children playing at your back at a playground. You as a mother, as a father, you are watching them. You are not playing, but you are simply watching. So simply, likewise, you allow the mind to play a little and without having any preferences, thinking that my mind has to only have wholesome feelings or wholesome thoughts. Mind should never has unwholesome thoughts. We don't have that kind of an attitude now. So either wholesome or unwholesome, whatever thoughts are arising, you are simply watching. You are simply witnessing. You are simply being aware of these thoughts. So if we are able to watch like that, then these thoughts also calm down. So mind become further serene, further tranquil, and further unified, further concentrated. Samahitan chittang, we are coming. Samahitan chittang asa sissamiti sikkhati. Now the mind becomes fairly calm, fairly concentrated, fairly collected, but may not be in an extremely deep concentration, but it's a kind of a serene, kind of a pleasant, concentrated state of mind. At this stage, probably the mind becomes empty. There is nothing to hold, nothing to grasp. And as a result, mind becomes quite empty. So we are reaching the Vimochayan Chittang Asa Sissamiti Sikkhati. So Buddha instructs us to allow the mind to be free, not holding anything, not attaching to anything, but to simply watch the mind with silence. So this is the, in a way, the natural state of mind, unagitated state of mind, unentangled state of mind. Yeah, mind simply has the awareness. So this natural awareness is quite pleasant. So one is recognizing this. And this is the outcome of the whole three sections. And then on Dhammanupassana, actually we have pure vipassana. In Dhammanupassana section, Buddha instructs us to see all these as impermanent. Either you can apply the view of impermanence to the Kayanupassana section and see how breath or the element characteristics of the breath become impermanent, become transient. Say, for example, if you are watching the breath, so it may feel like warm, it may feel like cold, but that also changing. It is also arising, it is also changing, it is also passing away. So you are looking at various element characteristics of the breath, and then you are understanding the impermanence of the body. And there may be various feelings, maybe, say, for example, little pains are available, and you are watching it. And you understand they are also coming and going. They are also changing. They become something else. Or else you can apply this impermanence to the mind. They are also, you can understand, these thoughts are coming and going. They are not mine. And simply you watch how they come and go. You are not holding them. You are not trying to possess them. You are not trying to fertilize them. But rather you are simply become a silent observer how they are coming and going. So this, the way of impermanence, the view of impermanence can be applicable to the Kayanupassana section, Vedananupassana section, or to the Dhammanupassana, Chittanupassana section. Then Buddha says that we can even watch them with a dispassionate mind. Viraganupassi asasi samiti sikkati. Or one can look at them, Nirodhanupassi asasi samiti sikkati. That you may be seeing how they are passing away. You are now not much interested about how they are arising, but now you are interested of how they are passing away. And then number 16, Patinissaggānupassī, where you have the attitude of letting go. So you, because already understood now they are coming and going, nothing to hold, nothing to grasp, this non-grasping nature of the mind, unattached nature of the mind is quite peaceful. So once you recognize that, once you start to appreciate that, so you are quite ready to let go. So you have an attitude of letting go. So Patinissaggānupassī therefore becomes available. So as you can see on the screen, this Kayanupassana section contributes to development of the seven enlightenment factors. Similarly, Vedananupassana also helps to develop enlightenment factors. And Chittanupassana also helps to develop enlightenment factors, and Dhammanupassana also helps to develop enlightenment factors. Last time we discussed how Kayanupassana helped to develop enlightenment factors. So let's discuss today how Vedananupassana are going to develop enlightenment factors. Actually, when we consider enlightenment factors, the first one is the mindfulness, Sati Sambojjhanga. So just by mere attention, mere mindfulness, we can't say that immediately contributes to the enlightenment factor, but it is at the very early stages. But later, when the mindfulness is well established, there is no any kind of a disturbance, the mindfulness is quite strong. And it is unshakable kind of a mindfulness, then we can say, okay, now we have stepped into the enlightenment factors. Now, in Vedananupassana, as you know, we are supposed to pay our attention to the various feelings. It could be either pleasant feelings or it could be either unpleasant, painful feelings. Doesn't matter. But when you are fairly ready, say you are on a sitting session and you develop a fair amount of mindfulness using Kayanupassana. Say you did the Samanapanasati meditation, and as a result you are regain your mindfulness. Now the attention is very well. Now you pay that attention to a rising pain. Say for example, there is a pain available at your knee. Now you can keep that attention for a little while. And you can observe this feeling. You can observe this painful feeling. So this painful feeling, assume now it is arising, changing, it is manifesting in different ways. Now you are closely watching. At that time, there are no distractions in the mind. You are in a very quiet situation and mind is well focused on that pain. At that point, we can say, we are paying attention to the pain and the mindfulness is well established. Therefore, we are stepped into the Sati Sambojjhanga. So we are just started developing Sati Sambojjhanga. Because Bojjhanga is a kind of a developed stage. It is not the very early stage of mindfulness, but
little advanced stage, we can say, we requires unwavering type of mindfulness, very much like you are now well established on that particular feeling. Say, for example, if you have a bench vice where you are using a tool to properly hold any kind of a, say, log or whatever another tool. So once you are properly putting it to bench vice, then you can properly hold it. Then the whatever the tool, whatever the log, whatever the metal piece is not changing. It is not moving. It is now in a proper position. Similarly, when the mindfulness is well established, then this whatever the feeling, it could be a pain, it could be a pressure. Now you can watch all the aspects of that pain, how it is changing, whether it is dividing into different small pains, small feelings, whether it completely disappear, and whether it is arising at another place. So all these different facets you can observe very carefully. So this is what we call, okay, now the mindfulness is well established. Now, if you can do that, Buddha says, okay, now the mindfulness enlightenment factor is available, and it has started, and now suppose you continue it, as a result, you are able to develop again and again mindfulness enlightenment factor. And then suppose you are not just stop there, but you are trying to closely observe about this pain. You have an attitude of observing it. You have an attitude of investigation. You want to search what's really going on in this pain. How is it arising? Is it a real pain, or is it I am putting too much to it? So is it simply I can manage it? So likewise, you have different investigative approach. So as a result, Buddha says this Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhanga going to arise, because the Dhamma Vichaya is where the mind is fairly curious, fairly investigative. And this investigative approach in the mind is quite helpful to develop Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhanga. And so this is how the investigation enlightenment factor is going to operate. And if we do it again and again, then this Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhanga going to further develop. So you need to understand the starting Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhanga is one thing, but when we apply that same attitude, this investigative attitude, searching attitude, kind of examining attitude again and again, and you are carefully observing it, carefully observing the feeling, then the enlightenment factor becomes strengthened, further improved. This is how the enlightenment factor is going to grow. Now, if we come to effort, in order to do this whole process again and again, you need fair amount of effort as well, because it is not that interesting. Because say if you are watching little pain available at your knee, it is not that interesting. You need fair amount of endurance. You need fair amount of patience. And you have to do it again and again. So this requires fair amount of mental energy. You are not giving up. You are not simply going to sleep. You are not getting up and go away. But rather you patiently enduring and observing, examining it. So this actually has involved a lot of energy, involved a lot of effort. So this is how the effort, the Virya Sambojjhanga, going to contribute, going to develop. And suppose now everything is happening smoothly. Now you have well-established mindfulness, so your mind is well-focused and put attention onto a particular place. As a result, you are able to observe how these various feelings are arising, how they are changing, and how even they are dividing and again arising. So you are now understood, okay, now things are happening properly. I don't need to struggle. Things are happening smoothly. Now you can little relax, and as a result you can say things are happening smoothly, meditation is doing well, going well, and all the information necessary, all the details available in that phenomena is visible, and so the mind becomes little happy. Because at the beginning it is not that easy, you know, your mind distracts, and again you have to bring it back. And again, when you are keeping your attention on a particular place, that might immediately disappear. Then mind becomes sort of unestablished. Again, your mind distracts. So a lot of issues are there at the beginning. But when everything happens smoothly, so you don't need to worry too much, because now things are happening well. So as a result, mind becomes more and more serene, more and more happy. And as a result, rupture is going to arise. Little peace is there. Happiness is there. So this piti sambojjhanga is available. So don't expect this now. If you are observing a kind of a little pain, don't expect that you may go through a lot of pleasurable feelings, etc. But rather, mentally you are kind of in a comfortable situation. Because mind does not wander, but it is fairly very much like locked with the existing phenomena, ongoing phenomena, arising phenomena. So it is, everything happens smoothly. Now, when things are happening smoothly, so the body feel comfortable, the mind feel comfortable, and as a result, body and mind become tranquil. So the passati sambojjhanga is also going to contribute. So the passadhi arises when everything is happening smoothly and the body is comfortable, mind is comfortable, because you don't need to struggle, mind is not agitated, but you are, the process is going on smoothly. So the tranquility is now going to arise. Now, when tranquility is available, when kind of a comfort is available, mind become further concentrated, because you know, the mind to be concentrated, it needs this support. The support coming from the mind, support coming from the body, the comfort, the happiness, kind of a feeling at ease, actually further improves concentration. So the concentration enlightenment factor, samadhi sambojjhanga, going to improve, going to progress. Now, if everything now happens perfectly, say your mindfulness is established and the mind now investigates various subtle details in the present phenomena, and you are having continuous effort, you are not giving up, and again the mind is in a pleasant situation and mind is tranquil and well concentrated, well focused, then you have nothing to do. Let things happen the way as it is. So you allow things to happen smoothly because the situation is in a favorable way. So this simple watching situation, simple observation leads to develop upekkha, because now you simply allow things to happen. Mind is not agitated. You don't need to do any adjustments. You are in the middle, just simply watching and allowing things to happen. Now the upekkha, equanimity going to arise. So this is how Vedana Anupassana is going to contribute to development of the enlightenment factors. So with that little information, little short sermon, I would like to conclude today's sermon. And I invite maybe Chatu or Suranga to start the question session.
I'm sorry, Bhante. There are four questions currently. Question number one. It's a general question. Venerable Sir, we have been hearing about clear comprehension, which goes hand in hand when mindfulness is developed. Much merits if you can explain how clear comprehension is linked to our practice of sitting and walking. Is it developed automatically when mindfulness is developed, or is there anything we need to be focusing on to develop these types of additional qualities? Thank you, Bhante. That's the end.
It is very much like this clear comprehension is fairly connected to our practice. Say, for example, as I said, when you are doing a Kayanupassana section, so you have to closely observe the breath. So in order to recognize whether it is cold, whether it is hot, whether it is longer, whether it is shorter, so all these requires some careful attention. And you have to clearly recognize. And again, clearly recognize various qualities of the breath. And again, when you reach to see the various stages of the breath, various phases of the breath, whether this is the beginning of the breath, whether this is the middle of the breath, whether this is the end of the breath, whether this is the kind of the gap of the breath. So all these actually have some clear understanding, clear attention, and clear comprehension. So this clear comprehension is how contributing to this sampajanya. So actually we require mindfulness to well establish before, and once the mindfulness is well established, so Buddha asked us to watch it carefully, observe things carefully. So this careful observation slowly contributes towards the sampajanya. Sati sampajanya, actually they go hand in hand. And the very early stages of mindfulness, we can say it's a kind of a bare attention. But later, once the mindfulness is established, we can't simply rest, but rather we have to carefully observe the phenomena. So this, as you can see, so sampajanya contributes towards the enlightenment factor of investigation, dhamma vichaya. So dhamma vichaya, as I mentioned just now, so dhamma vichaya Buddha explains like, tang dhammam anyaya pavichinati, pavicharati, parivimansam apajjati. That means, so you are, whatever the phenomena, under the observation, you are carefully observing, you are examining it, investigating it. So this is how dhamma vichaya is developed, as well as the clear comprehension is in a way a kind of a, we can say a relative of dhamma vichaya. We can say the early stages of dhamma vichaya is clear comprehension, sampajanya. And on the other hand, suppose whenever you are doing involved with day-to-day activities, say you are brushing your teeth, you are eating, you are drinking, whenever you can be mindful about those various activities, that also clearly contributes to this clear comprehension, sampajanya. Because without allowing the mind to go for any kind of autopilot mode, you are trying to be mindful whether at this moment is the body eating, at this moment whether the brushing teeth is going on, whether the body is sweeping. So likewise, the current, the present bodily activity is being aware. So this clear understanding. So the bodily process and the mental process are well synced, hand in hand. So the mind process or mental process is simply watching the ongoing physical process, and very clearly you can see the minute details of the bodily process. So this actually contributes to sampajanya, and this is how the whole practice, the whole mindfulness practice, what Buddha teaching, is actually bundled with clear comprehension. It is not that you have to import clear comprehension, but rather this whole practice, whole recipe, say for example this anapanasati, what we were discussing, Buddha present in a way to contribute or to enhance this clear comprehension. Chatu, back to you.
Question number 2 of 4, mindful sitting. Bhante Theravansaranai, When I do sitting meditation, the breath is quite subtle. Later, it slowly vanishes off. Then I am at a place looking at my thoughts. This happened for many months now. I just keep watching what comes and passes by and didn't go after it. Lately, the thoughts are less and less. At times, I feel like a memory coming in, but like a picture or photo. When I come out of the meditation, my body feels quite energized. Also, can you explain what is samatha and vipassana when it comes to cittanupassana? If that makes sense. Day to day, I feel like at times my eye is like a camera, and the children are running around. It feels strange. Correct me if I am in the wrong direction. Much merits, Bhante. That's the end.
Yeah, actually, cittanupassana is totally, we can say, in vipassana, because whenever you are watching the mind, by the mind, it is where we are in, we can say, in the mindfulness practice. But on the other hand, samatha practice is different, where you require certain amount of permanence notion. So nitya sanya, permanence notion is there. You take some sort of a concept and you are watching it again and again and trying to condition the mind. Okay, this is red color. Okay, this is blue color. So likewise, you are trying to condition the mind by giving some sort of a phenomena. So I have taken a casino as an example. So red color casino. So you are again and again watching it, again and again watching it. So as a result, so mind get conditioned. But in the cittanupassana, it is completely different, where you allow the mind to play as it like, but you have separate thread, separate capacity to watch the mind. So this is why it is said it is difficult to come immediately to cittanupassana, because for a beginner, it is difficult to understand what we are talking, how one can watch the mind by the mind. So it's appear like kind of a paradox, but on the kind of a riddle. But on the other hand, if you start kayanupassana, so there you understand, okay, there's a bodily phenomena, bodily process, and that can be observed by the mind. So now you understand the concept, you understand the art. So same approach can be taken to the cittanupassana. Then there are various thoughts going on in the mind, but you can watch it. Like an outsider, you can watch it, whatever the thoughts going on in the mind. So therefore, we can say cittanupassana is purely vipassana. It's not samatha. But you need some clarity of mind. You need some amount of concentration. You need some amount of calmness in the mind in order to watch it. Because if there are continuous thoughts appearing very rapidly, thousands and thousands of thoughts are appearing in the mind, then you can't do cittanupassana. Because in order to do cittanupassana, you need fair amount of calmness, fair amount of tranquility, fair amount of concentration in the mind. So therefore, we can say cittanupassana, as a prerequisite, the samatha is available. What I am trying to tell is, now, when someone has gone through some samatha practice, say for example, so that can be used to maintain that necessary concentration in the mind, and then you can use the mindfulness practice to watch various phenomena arising in the mind. So what is the other question, Chatu, in this question?
So it says, I think, day to day, it's the very last bit. Day to day, I feel like at times my eye is like a camera, and the children running around, it feels strange. Correct me if I'm in the wrong direction. I believe it's just in general about the report. That question. Yeah.
So actually, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, everything is like a faculty, like a sensor. So using eyes, we can actually watch. So the function of eyes is simply to get an image. And if you know a little science, you may understand, okay, when the light is available, the light rays are coming to the retina, and there's a inverted image being created at the retina, and the brain is the one actually properly do the all adjustments, and this kind of a mechanism is there in the eyes. It's very much like a camera, of course. And similarly, the ears also is like a sensor. So it has various sensitive parts picking the audible data, and then it is doing various calculations, various adjustments, manipulations inside the brain, and then how we recognize the sound. Similarly, the taste, similarly, the smell, similarly, the bodily sensations. So these are all sensors. So seeing whatever the object, not only your children, you can apply the situation to everywhere. Whenever you are seeing something, this kind of a mechanism is available in our eyes. This kind of mechanism is available in our ears. Mechanism is available in the nose, tongue, body. So if we are able to understand this, so can we say this is me? This is I. Is there a self to it? It's difficult. You can't say like that. Because you will understand it's a kind of a relationship. It's kind of a cause and effect relationship is there. When the light is available, when the proper focus is available, and there's a kind of an object is available in the front, then the possibility of arising an image is possible. And then the brain operates on that, and you recognize, okay, this is so and so. So all these so and so part is our own adding up, our own additions. But the task of the eye is simply to get the image, and all other interpretations are mind made, are all other perceptions we are adding. We do the various adding part once we get this initial data. So therefore you can continue, but only thing is, don't get confused because even though we know these things, we have to slowly put things into practice. Don't get confused. This is the way it is. This is the reality. But so far we are putting various blinkers into this whole process. We think, okay, this is my children. This is me. I am looking at my children. So this is the kind of a blinker we have. Once we remove it, this kind of a process happens. A kind of a cause and effect relationship is really there. But we, unfortunately, because of the ignorance, we interpret like, okay, this is, I am watching my children. So we interpret in an entirely wrong way about this present experience.
Question 3 of 5, mindful walking. Dear Venerable Bhante, I have been practicing walking mindfulness based on the instructions provided. During the initial period, for about 5 to 10 minutes, I can feel the sensations on the soles of the feet and the differences. Afterwards, the sensations fade away and I observe a separation between the sensations and the mind. Time to time, the mind goes out with thoughts, but comes back naturally to these distant sensations. After 20 to 30 minutes, I feel calm, content, and relaxed, and the mind stays within this state at ease. However, all this time, I had the attitude of being mindful within the walking process and keeping focused and vigilant until the end of the path, completing the next cycle, etc. There is a wanting to do the mindful practice successfully within the time duration. Lately, I have decided to give up this idea of keeping vigilance till the turn and not focusing excessively in the process, which I realized as stressful and something in the future that I wanted to happen correctly. All I did then was just try to be aware of the sensations I can feel now, nothing else. Only when I reached the end of the path, I realized I have to turn back. And also, nothing about keeping vigilance on my mindfulness. I walked with the attitude if accepting anything which comes as a sensation. I could observe the relaxation with this approach and attitude immediately, which is quite different than the earlier experience. The relaxation was more subtle, hollow, and void. The previous relaxed state I observed after continuous application, being vigilant, was more content, feeling, and heavy. Thought of writing this reflection to highlight the differences I could observe just by altering the attitudes towards the practice itself. Much merits for your valuable guidance and advice. With metta, that's the end.
Yeah, actually, the approach you have taken is correct. So at the beginning, we need a fair amount of effort in order to lock the object. It's very much like you are locking. You are putting the piece to the bench vise and you are locking it. So similarly, our mindfulness is established. Our mind is well focused. We pay attention and to various phenomena. When we are walking, okay, hardness, softness, roughness, various phenomena are available. You are paying your attention. There's a little effort there, there's a little tension there. And of course, as a result of this continuous application, things start to fade away. And this is where you are now staying. There's a kind of a beautiful gap starts to build up. Now these different phenomena starts to fade away. And they like becoming kind of blurred. They are losing their boundaries. And mind likes to stay alone. The mind builds up kind of its own independence. Mind likes to stay alone without paying much attention. Now, previously, if mind doesn't pay attention to this present phenomena, it go and grasp something else. It may go to the past, it may go to the future, it may go to a sound, it may go to a form, any kind of other thing. But the difference here is now mind doesn't go to anything else either. So the present phenomena has faded away. All things are available, but mind is not that interested. Mind likes to be alone without paying attention to any of these, but maintaining some kind of a distance and allow things to happen. So the whole walking is going on. You like an outsider maintaining some sort of a gap, some sort of a distance. You can watch. So mind has its own kind of a region which has no disturbances. So the thoughts cannot disturb it. These various forms, visual objects cannot disturb it. Various sounds cannot disturb it. Various tastes cannot disturb it. All these sensations happening during the walking session cannot disturb the mind. Mind has its own kind of an island, kind of a freedom, and this has to be encouraged. But if you don't know the technique, then you are forcefully putting the mind again and again to watch those phenomena. That it becomes extremely stressful, kind of a tense situation. But rather, when mind wants to be alone, when the mind wants to be tranquil, and wants to maintain that distance, you have to allow mind to maintain that distance. So this is what you have done in the second way, in the second method, where you allow the mind to be alone, keep it separate, but still, as I mentioned, mind is not grasped to anything else. Mind hasn't clung to anything else. Mind has its freedom. And again, it can watch various other things. It's not that it becomes blind. It becomes insane, but it is quite sensitive, but not disturbed. Not agitated. Not triggered, but it has its own calmness, own kind of tranquility, while watching what is going on in the vicinity. The mind is not no more a victim of any object. Now, whenever you are watching certain object, so you have to closely couple the mind to this object, then only you can observe it. But at this situation now, slowly, kind of a separation happens. So the object is there at a far distance, and mind can simply watch it without an attachment, without any kind of an engagement. Mind can watch it. So this has to be encouraged. Now allow the process to happen the way it is. Allow the mind to slowly find its own refuge, find its own island, find its own freedom. So mind has that capacity. Mind has that freedom. Actually, all this practice we are doing in order for the mind to find that refuge. So you can't simply dictate the mind to go and find that, because it has to happen as a cause and effect relationship. Where that is why we do all this mindfulness practice. So more and more we pay attention to the ongoing present arising phenomena, the wisdom is arising. And as a result, mind starts to let go of all these attachments. And as a result, mind finds its freedom. Back to you, Chatu.
Question 4 of 7, mindful sitting. Venerable Bhante, during my sitting meditation, I watch the breath till it calms down. And after a while, I can feel rapture. It's sometimes a wave or goosebumps-like feeling. When this happens, I watch each sensation. My question is, how do I proceed to calm it down? Much merits for your guidance. That's the end.
Actually, here, if you are trying to do something that is little against the principle, so you simply allow it to happen, because slowly these will disappear. Actually, when things happen, we don't need to obstruct them, we don't need to suppress them, but rather goosebumps are happening, but you are watching it, because these things appear like strange only in the early stages, but more and more you do it, so you become familiar with these things. So you go prepared on the next time and you are ready. Okay, and when I'm reaching this kind of a stage, goosebumps are happening, various pleasurable feelings going to appear. You are ready. You don't need to suppress them. You don't need to be afraid of them. You can simply watch them. So you are simply watching them, and they are coming. They are trying to play. They are going, and you are undisturbed. You have your mindfulness. You are watching. So therefore, don't try to suppress them. You don't need to get rid of them, but simply observe them. And this simple observation helps them to go away, and they will come and they will go.
Question number 5 of 7. This is day-to-day activities. Dear most venerable Bhante, in my general day-to-day life, I notice I need to keep reminding myself to be mindful. Otherwise, it tends to wander around. I notice that sometime after this session, mind automatically obeys, which I don't need to remind. Why is it like this? Is it because of the circumstances, or is it karmic? Or is it in our control? Any advice is appreciated with metta. That's the end.
Yeah, actually, when we discuss about these factors, actually, when the kind of like-minded people get together, when as a group we discuss, mind gets a lot of resources. Mind get become quite encouraged. And therefore, easily mind continue it. But on the other hand, when we are in a different situation, mind likes to play, it goes to something else. And you may be watching movies, you may be watching news. So you are, in a way, disturbed in the mind. So as a result, it's difficult to tame, difficult to control. But this session, in a way, we are discussing the values of mindfulness, the importance of mindfulness and various techniques. So a lot of fertilizer is coming to the mind. And mind become quite strong, mind fairly convinced about the situation. So it is easily you can continue. That's why, I mean, even in the group sittings, in retreats. So people get easily, people can actually easily progress because all are doing the same thing. And when we see someone else, we get encouraged because someone else is walking, someone else is sitting, they are trying to develop mindfulness. So likewise, we get a lot of encouragement, like-minded people. So this actually has a good effect, good vibrations towards our own practice. So therefore, I mean, this is how we have to sort of help each other to continue our path.
Question number 6 of 7. Just before I get started, Bhante, is it okay if we go a little bit over time? There's only one more question now.
Fine. Yes.
Okay. Question 6, mindful sitting. Dear Venerable, I notice there is agitation underneath, even though everything is all right. I can stay with this feeling and notice that focusing on the breath is temporarily easing. What is this agitation? Is this there for everyone else? Sometimes I feel whether everyone else in the world had attained enlightenment except me with metta. That's the end.
So this is what we think at the early stages, that everyone is quite calm, serene, but poor me, look at me, I got all the problems, all the mosquitoes are coming to me, all the flies are coming to me, all the disturbing sounds are coming to me, all the different pains are coming to me. So this is the wrong attitude in a way. Actually, slowly when we are progressing, so we are learning how to take these obstacles in a positive manner. Say, for example, when there is a pain available in your knee, rather than thinking, okay, why this pain, why this happened to me, why poor me, like that. So you can watch pain as pain. You have the capacity to watch pain as pain. It is not my pain. It is just the pain. So this is where the kind of the change of perspective is quite important. In the Four Noble Truths, Chatu Arya Satcha, Buddha very carefully, very clearly mentioned about the First Noble Truth. What is First Noble Truth? There is suffering. Idam Dukkhang Arya Satcha, there is suffering. So this perspective, watching suffering, watching unsatisfaction, watching some kind of agitation, watching some kind of defilement, available at this right moment, being aware of that is what we need to develop. We unnecessarily put some kind of a self-view onto this. We are projecting some kind of a self-view onto this ongoing experience, and this is where we go all wrong. But rather what we need to do is to observe it. You have to come out of the situation and just observe it objectively. There is pain and you are watching it. There is some kind of agitation in the mind, you can watch it. There is kind of a resentment in the mind, you can watch it. You are no more a victim of it. You are not caught to it. But rather you can watch it, being in the outside. So this attitude has to be developed. There is suffering. Suffering has to be understood. It's the kind of aspects in the First Noble Truth, where whenever any kind of unsatisfaction is available, kind of uneasiness is available, any kind of resistance is available in the mind, rather than taking it personally, we have to watch it. We have to understand it. We have to recognize it. And then slowly we take off this mental pain. Now only the physical pains are available, but there is no mental pain. So removing of this mental pain actually calms down even the bodily pain, and it also may disappear. So therefore, don't think that others may not have pain. They also may have pain, but they know the art. They know the technique. They know that how to tackle it, how to handle it. And you also slowly get this skill. Don't expect all the skills will happen overnight. But rather, more you develop, more you improve your mindfulness, all these skills start to develop in the mind. and it's a slow process. So therefore, don't expect quick results, but continue your practice. Then slowly, you also may be able to recognize all these different techniques.
Question number 7 of 7, this is the last one. Theory question. Dear Bhante, could you please explain instant concentration, Karnika Samadhi, according to today's Dhamma talk? Does it fall under Chitta Viveka or Chitta Anupassana? Thank you, Therawan Sarana. It's the end.
Yeah, actually, in Vipassana meditation, whenever you are observing various phenomena, what you have is the Karnika Samadhi. Say, for example, when there is a painful feeling available, so you suppose you are watching it, you are applying your attention to that place again and again. At that time, your mind is concentrated on that phenomenon instantly for a little while, because that very phenomena are going to change. So this currently, what is the present phenomena, is well focused and you have paid your attention. So at this moment, your mind is concentrated and it is Karnika Samadhi, momentary concentration. Because next time, either this phenomena might change or might completely disappear, and you may have to pay attention to another place, another phenomena. And at that time, you have to concentrate your attention on that new phenomena. So therefore, Vipassana is very much like you are shooting to a moving object. It's not a constant object, stable object, but kind of a changing object, moving object. So the concentration is therefore called as Karnika Samadhi, instantaneous concentration. And it's a kind of a skill you need to develop. And some of the concentration actually maintains the clarity of the mind. You are removing all other obstacles for this concentration, this instantaneous concentration to happen. And then in the Vipassana, so all these present moment phenomena, whenever they are arising, so mind is then and there, you are focusing, you are paying attention. So the mind gets concentrated, instantaneous samadhi is available, Karnika Samadhi is available, and you are ready to watch it. You are quickly getting the detail. You are quickly watching it. You are quickly observing it, quickly investigating it, examining it. So this all actually, we can say the Karnika Samadhi.
Thank you, Bhante. That was the last question. So I might just sum up for the day. And we've actually done well for once. We finished on time, basically. So we had some really good questions today. There's always a good mix, walking, sitting, general and theory questions. As I've said before, we don't sort of get these questions, especially in English forum, not that I've sort of been to. So it's really good that people are actually asking these sort of things and also that we're getting good answers for them. So with that, I'd like to thank Bhante for actually guiding us, and helping us do this session and also giving up valuable time. I know it's not easy as well, being very busy over there. The other thing I'd like to do is thank the organizers, and especially for everyone who's joined in, and giving up your time and actually having a go at this. And there's also one more thing. I usually miss the start of the session. I have a clash with a Satipatthana and I saw there was a small Nangi doing the walking, which so I didn't get a chance. I'd never seen her before. So I also thank you to her, because for the walking, generally, I think you need to see someone do it, in addition to the explanation. So I don't know if she's doing that all the time, but I'd like to thank her as well. So with that, I'd like to sum up the discussion. Therawan Sarnai. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Therawan Sarnai.